Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the technical market call from the Fed Report for August 18th, 2016. We've got a little tiny bit of housekeeping. This is going to be a quicker call because Jeff Garbaz is not going to be able to be on the call today. So with all that out of the way, we'll get started. First of all, let's talk about the stock indexes. The stock market still looks fine. It still looks up. We're expecting a test of 223 on the Spider this year. To put that into perspective, that's only roughly 3-4 days of trading away. We're at 218.56 right now at an average daily range of 2 points per day. 223 will be hit in 3 days, and we're actually giving ourselves 4 months to hit that. So that's not to say the market can't go higher. We think it can, but it is to say that once we get above 223, the risk gets to be a little bit higher. And if we get a sharp pullback in here, as long as that holds to 12 or so, we're quite happy with the way things look. So let's just sort of sit and enjoy the ride. It's obviously been pretty flat and pretty dull, and a lot of people are taking that to be bearish. I recall when I was in Los Angeles, everyone was talking about Jeff Gundlach saying, sell everything, sell your kids, et cetera, et cetera. We don't see anything like that at all. We see the chance. We are on a daily stochastic sell now. We see a chance that the daily stochastic might recycle a little bit from here. But we're not concerned until we start trading below the 212 area, which is, you know, far enough away, and we're just working ourselves up, ways up a little bit. Let's just see how that goes. We still like small cap. We're using XSMB right now, or XSLV, sorry, XSLV. That looks just fine to us. It looks a little bit better than IWM and IJR. We're happy with the way all of that is trading, and there's really not much to say, unfortunately, except that let's make a couple of individual sector comments. First of all, we had a lot of questions on biotech. Would we sell biotech in here as traders? Yes, absolutely. As investors, probably not. But bear in mind, IBB, if it can break the 280 area, has risk all the way back to 264, 265 or so. We discussed the risk a little bit in the midweek review. A lot of resistance on IBB at 300. We're expecting that to hold for a little bit. We've had some great trading gains in these. They still look, on a longer-term basis, like that index has recovered. Will it be a leader? We're not sure. But for traders, we'd be taking that off here, as we said in the midweek. Tech is really interesting. IYW is trading, you know, reasonably well. But when you look at, like we said, at the equal weights, you see that a lot of this is cap-weighted movement. Still, we like the looks of Apple. Apple has hit our 110 area target and made a little bit of a spike. Could it come back down to 102 and go into that gap? Yes, absolutely. But frankly, the way Apple acts, that 90 to 92 area was a 50% retracement. Normally, after a 52% retracement on Apple, the stock goes to a new high. So as investors, we're very happy being in Apple and wouldn't necessarily sell the stock. IBM is building a nice consolidation at 160. It's about to give a new daily buy signal. That, again, is a large cap name. We would play that. Basically, our favorite techs are Cisco, Intel, Apple, and in the non-sector review stocks, IBM is a favorite, et cetera. So, you know, the bigger cap names, not necessarily the smaller cap names. One of the things we're seeing in other stock news in the chart book is a lot of stocks have very promising daily formations but are rallying into intermediate-term resistance or longer-term resistance on the weekly charts. That suggests that this is not going to be a big runaway market, but that it is going to be a good market, but we have to chew through some of that resistance on those names first. Let's talk about the bond market for just a second. You know, bonds have come down again and challenged that 137 or so area. We are not at all excited about the bond market in here. In fact, we think there's a little bit more risk than people think. And again, much below 137 to 136.50 would set us up for a nice move down in bonds and up in rates. And again, when we say that, what we really mean is, you know, let's say we can get the 10-year to, let's see, let me pick a number on the 10-year. Let's say we can get the 10-year to 1.86, 1860 on TYX, which is a nice move from here, but it's where we've been, you know, in June and May of this year. In other words, this is not a gigantic move, but what we are seeing is, you know, some impetus to, again, sell bond holdings and see if we can't do some of the more dividend stocks. We're seeing nice pullbacks in a couple of names we like AT&T, you know, and we would expect these to have sharp pullbacks, you know, as they advance. So we're not at all displeased with the way this is setting up, and we would still be looking at dividend stocks, especially for the longer term, rather than bonds as an income vehicle. You know, don't forget on TLT, by the way, we've got some people that are a little more enterprising. You can do buy rights on some of these ETFs, just like you do on stocks. In other words, buy TLT, sell a call, and try to get called away. And we would look very seriously and carefully at doing some of those strategies. They should work pretty well. But again, I think the main message here is rates are close, on a technical basis at least, to the low end, and there's a little bit more risk here than people think. Let's talk about gold and commodities for a minute. We consistently see gold failing to hit numbers that we wanted to hit. On our last pullback signal, we thought GLD might get to 124 to 124.50. Instead, GLD stopped. The low on it for the consolidation was 125.11. It's back up and trying to rally. We look at GDX. Obviously, that came close to our 33 area to go into a consolidation, and it's consolidating. The real key here is the long-term data on these are positive. You want to be using weakness to buy them, and you know, I don't see risk of an appreciable pullback in those instruments. Let's see how crude oil does here. USO is up a bit and trying to rally, but normally the August contract made a low. Normally you make an interim peak in September and then drop into October, November. We would use that as a way to think about adding oil stocks again. Oil on XLE has got, the oil stock index itself has got a lot of resistance in the 70 to 76 area. We would expect that to be tested, but those still look like more of an equal weight for us than not. And, you know, let's just see how that goes. We would be buying the dividend plays in that area, would be the way to go. So let's just see how that goes. The interesting thing here about the dollar is it's pulling back a little bit more than we thought, but if you look at UUP, there's a giant gap on it at 24.25 or so, and we're starting to move into that gap. What we really want to look at carefully is, does the dollar hold that gap and start to rally again, or does it just continue to go down? Have to see how that is. When we look at FXE and FXY, though, it does appear that those currencies have held support. They're rallying back up to the top end of ranges, and currencies stay in ranges most of the time. So, again, we have talked to people about not using necessarily DXJ and instead using SCJ. Those markets we would be unhedged in, as well as the European markets. We would be buying Europe directly through the use of EWL and EWGS, with preference towards EWL, although both are doing well. And we still like very much emerging markets, although they're overbought. When we look at PIE, though, it's trading very well and up into the resistance. EEM is trading up again towards 38, 39. We get through 38, 39 on this, it's probably going to 44, and that's our favorite of the international trades. In emerging markets, by the way, we've been recommending PCY. That continues to trade extremely well. We're very happy using that as a bond alternative and would stay with it. With that, those are mostly my prepared remarks. Jeff Garbaz is not going to be on the call, so if we have any questions, please remember to hit star 6 to unmute your phone, but we will take some questions now, please, if anyone has any. Ah, very good. Questions? Here's someone trying to come in. Yes, ma'am.
This is Tracy Bird. I have a question on the TLT, and I was going to ask you this before you brought it up. You talked about doing a buy right, and I wondered if you have numbers in terms of where you'd put that trade on and where you'd put the strike on the call.
I would buy it right in here down to 137, but not much lower, and I would try to write the calls, and I'm assuming you want to be called away at 141, if you can, or 140.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the idea with this is we try to enhance the yield on it by getting called away. Is how I would do it, and then put the trade on again, in other words. And I looked at the options, Tracy. It looked like the two-month options had the best bang for the buck in terms of the premium.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that, too. Okay.
Yeah, check that. I'm not the world's greatest call writer. If Butch is on the call and he wants to chime in on that, Butchie is one of the best call writers I've ever seen in my life. And he's got some ways that he does that. That would be a way to play this. But, yeah, it looked like the two-month calls, and then if they expire worthless, write them again.
Perfect. Thanks.
Got it.
Fred, it's Rocky.
Rocky, how are you?
Hanging in there. You got an update on your thoughts on steel and coal?
Yeah, steel looks fine, but remember we switched out of U.S. steel and went into SLX, which looks fine. X has pulled down into support in this 21 to 20 area. We would still consider swapping X into SLX and maybe looking at AK Steel or some of the others. But
what's
SLX
looks... What's your target price on SLX?
On SLX, I don't really have one. I'm playing an uptrend. I think this can go into the next year as they do an infrastructure play, but I would use 36 for now as a target.
What about KOL?
I'm thinking of selling it immediately. I was looking for it to get into the 10 to 12 area by the election, and it's gotten there a little bit sooner. And as a trader, I'm getting a little bit nervous. But, you know, basically, Rocky, if it starts going below 940 to 9, you need to sell this.
Good. Thank you.
Sure. And that's been a good trade. Again, we were thinking that this would realize its potential by the election simply because President Obama has been harder on the coal companies than most of the other, you know, most of the candidates all through, and now the final two candidates would be. But it also seems to have gotten to where we thought it could get to a little early. And I'm told I have not looked at fundamental reports on stocks like Arch Coal, but I'm told there's still financial issues. These stocks may start to come over and fall back a little bit earlier than we thought. So protect your profits on that.
Good.
Other calls? Questions? Blah, blah, blah. Sorry.
Hey, Fred. It's CJ.
CJ, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Trying not to melt up here. Hey, do you have any comments? Just I've noticed for the last month, some of the lower volatility stuff just seems like it's been taking a break, but the higher beta stuff, something like SPHB, seems like it's been doing much, much better.
Yeah,
any comments there?
I would be buying PDP here, but I wouldn't necessarily be selling my high beta stuff. You know, as you say, it's taking a break. You know, SPHB is a solid buy here. The problem with it is your stop loss is 29 to 29.50, a much bigger loss than you would want to have on some of the other stuff.
Okay.
If you were really aggressive, yes, you could sell your low volatility stuff and go into the high beta and high relative strength stuff.
Yeah, I was
this
looking.
Is
I mean,
as good
some
an
of our
indication as we. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say. I mean, I had been sort of stair stepping into some of the volatility, the lower volatility stuff, to where it was getting, you know, it was getting up to a quarter to a third of accounts, which is more than I typically like to see. And so I was thinking about just dialing that back down just a touch and using the. Yeah, sort of like you do in the model portfolios with one unit of this and one unit of that.
Yeah, I could definitely do that. Now, again, CJ, the problem is that's looked good several times and ultimately has failed over
okay.
the last few months. And when I look at SPLV, for example, we've got a fairly strong daily buy signal on that right here. Right? And so I might want to wait until the daily stochastic at least gets back up into the 80s again before we do it. And I think those stocks might continue to do well in the next year, although we think that money, there's still a good bit of cash out there. We think that that new money is coming into the higher relative strength and momentum plays. But on any sort of whiff of funkiness, that could reverse quickly enough that I don't think we want to be overweight those yet.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure. Other questions? By the way, when you look at the dividend stock ETFs, they are still trading very, very well, especially relative to the S&P. I don't have any reason not to hold on to those names. Other questions? Very well, going once.
Hi, Fred.
Yes, sir.
This is Justin Perlman. How you doing?
Justin, how are you?
I'm doing good. I apologize if any of these are were already talked about. I was off the call, but you could just say, "Hey, listen to the call again."
Sure.
Vodafone, VOD.
That has not been mentioned. You know, that one still looks like a little bit more rally. I would use 32.90 on that.
Okay.
And then let's look at it again. And that's actually for a European stock is a very decent looking chart.
Thank you. And then how about Toyota Motors, Tom Mary?
Let me look at a longer-term chart of that. We've been using that in Honda. TM looks like you're right close to a fair amount of resistance in the 120 to 121 area. If it can get through that, 125, and that would be an interesting play. Honda looks very slightly better to me
okay.
and is also cheaper and has got a gap at 31.50 or so to 31.78 to 32 that I think has got to fill. So I would probably rather use Honda than Toyota, but both
okay.
look fine.
And then... Schlumberger, Sam Larry, Bravo, did that hit our targets and is a buy now?
You could. I like Halliburton a little bit better, but yeah, I think Schlumberger is tradable. The only thing with oil is it really may be going into a trading range. If you buy Schlumberger, be a little bit careful, especially for you. Use like 79 as a stop. For investors, the stop is probably 71. And just realize that if this drops again into the fall and makes a low around 72, 73, you're going to want to buy the stock.
Okay. And then one last one, Deckers, dog, elephant, Charlie, kite.
Deckers. Okay. Right up near resistance, but it's still positive on the weekly, although it's overbought. I think you've got a shot at getting this to 70 and a half, and then I would be watching it carefully.
Great. Thanks, Fred. I appreciate it.
Sure. Very good. Other questions? Cool. Going.
Hey, Fred.
Yes, sir.
Fred, it's Bill. I was just wondering if you could comment, please, on Blackstone BX and Sirius XM, SIRI.
Okay. BX actually is a financial that we like, along with Morgan Stanley and Bank of America. BX looks like you can get to 30 to, and then probably pause, but it's a decent-looking chart nonetheless, and I would certainly be happy buying it or holding it here. And Siri, with the caveat being that this was the bane of Merrill Lynch research back in the early 2000s, it is a short-term trading breakout, and again, the numbers are such that it's a little bit icky. You have to use a stop at 320, which is a long, long ways away, and look at the possibility of 480 to 5.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a fascinating stock as far as that goes. Your daily stochastic is turning around. Bill, like a lot of these, if it doesn't make a new high on this daily buy signal, it's probably a consolidation or worse, so I'd just be a little bit careful.
Thank you, Fred.
Sure. Other questions? Very well, going once.
Fred,
yes,
Yogesh, yes.
Hey, Yogesh.
Sorry, I just joined, so I don't know what your advice. Just a quick question on oil. Lately, the technicians are still okay, and we are expecting a little bit lower than $40 price. Many of the report coming out that $35-$40 is still a possibility. On the other hand, the individual companies' fundamentals are improving. Have you have any thought in the, as a group, as a general, would you buy individual stock? Would you recommend buying OIH or something like that?
You know, Yogesh, I would be buying the individual stocks. In the individuals, I'd probably be leaning a little bit more towards the big cap names like Occidental and Chevron and even ExxonMobil. You know, in the services, I like the looks of Halliburton. Schlumberger is trading pretty well. You know, I think the thing here, Yogesh, it looks to me like oil is going much more into a trading range than anything else, with the possibility of some weakness September, October, as those contracts go off the board. So I would be playing more the bigger names in that area. I look at some of the weaker stocks, like, for example, WLL has been one of the weaker names. And
right.
It doesn't look horrible, but it's not going yet. That was a pretty big Merrill Lynch recommendation, as I recall. I know it was a recommendation at Morgan Stanley. And it's just not doing that much, whereas something big like Schlumberger or Halliburton, you can see that they're doing much better. So I think look for a trading range in these. I haven't seen any reports coming out on industry consolidation yet, and there may be. But, you know, a stock like NE, for example, which Noble was a great little company, you know, it's just a terrible downtrend. It's not, you know, even with oil prices stabilizing, this is still going down the tubes. And so I'd be very, very selective and buy the biggest companies.
That's great. And the last question that I I had asked you about the gold and silver. My concern is that everyone that I know have been buying it, and generally they are the people are the last one to get in. Any concern that you see yet about the sentiments on those sectors, those two groups?
You know, Yogesh, when I look at the Consensus Inc. numbers, which are the numbers that I use, they're in the 65 area, and gold normally gets into the high 70s, sentiment-wise, before you have to worry. Now, I was talking to somebody when I was in Los Angeles. You know, we tried to buy GLD at 24.50, it got to 25 and turned around. One of these days, when we put one of those cheap numbers in, it's going to tear through that like a knife through butter, and I kind of thought it might be this time and GLD would drop to 121.50 as soon as we bought it at 124.50, but so far that isn't happening, and those continue to look okay. You know, I guess we have to watch on gold here. The one thing that I would be watching is UUP has got a gap in the 24.25 or so area, and it's coming down to fill that. If the dollar can turn up from here, that may cause gold to go down.
Yep.
But those relationships haven't worked all year either, right? And maybe changing. You know, from a technical perspective, I'm hoping to get this down. But frankly, it just may not come down. I'm not that worried about it. I would be buying it on dips, though, you know, Yogesh, I think, rather than just loading up in here. But it looks okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
Truly. Yo, and Yogesh, Nick and I may be up there in September. I've got to talk to him. We may come see you.
Yes. The Nick is a good partner, but you have to bring somebody else with you. So we'll talk a bit later. Thank
got
you.
Got it. Okay. Other questions? Very well. Going once. Going twice. Very good. We missed Jeff, but it was a shorter call. This will end the technical market call for August 18th, 2016. A good thing because we're remodeling the bathroom and they want to start drilling tiles out. So have a good day.